This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
July 31st, our Politics and Pints, me and Giano Caldwell, Fox News superstar, all-around great guy, together on stage, one night only, Bucks County Community College. Get your tickets now by going to 1210WPHD.com. Joining us now, as he does every week, to talk about the craziness in the leftist mainstream liberal media is Bill DeAgostino, Media Research Center. He's on X at @band_Bill. Bill, what's up, my man? How was your weekend?
It was good, man. Doing well. Got some beach days in, finally.
Beach days. You and Joe Biden building sandcastles together or what?
Yeah, my lawyer says I shouldn't really talk about it.
Smart move. Yeah.
Joe Biden was there. That's all I can say.
Yeah. You know, you remember when those guys threatened him with his legacy and said you could either leave and be a hero or we're going to destroy your legacy, basically. And Somebody asked me the question of what his legacy would be. And I guess it was. My theory always was that, you know, they created this illusion of Joe Biden, of this kind old man in the basement, you know, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. But everybody who really knew Joe Biden knew he was a corrupt, nasty SOB who said things right. And was rude and had a bad mouth on him and everything like this. He was like a Hollywood creation in many respects, Joe Biden.
Yeah, he was. That's a really good point. We did a video back during the primaries, I think. Actually, a bunch of Bernie bros stole it and started tweeting it around because it made him look bad. It was just all of these scandals, all of his plagiarism scandals, him yelling at constituents, etc. It was like 5 minutes long. And the media back then were hammering him for it. This was like in the 80s and 90s because, you know, nobody really thought of him as a serious candidate. But when you think about the idea of them saying, okay, you know, your legacy's at stake, it's actually even a better deal because it's a fake legacy that they made for him that he never really earned, right? It's like, it's not just his legacy. It's like this fake whitewashed image of you that we created for you. All you have to do is drop out and then you get to keep that, you know, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, drop out and keep that. Or if you don't drop out, we're going to expose it all. And then God only knows what happens because, I mean, they know what's on the laptop. And now that Hunter's pardoned, I mean, you know, I imagine it all gets buried, but let's start with Hunter because he's very angry and he's doing interviews now. Why is he doing interviews? Yeah. And he sounds like he's back on drugs. Honestly, I played a couple clips earlier today. It sounds like he's either back on drugs or he's going through withdrawal.
It's one of the two, maybe. I mean, you know, also, I wonder if just the drugs were there to take the edge off. And this is what he's like when he's just constantly angry. Mm. You know, maybe that's just who he is as a person. I mean, you know, I've never met the guy, thank God. But yeah, this interview that he's giving, it's like 3 hours long. I was trying to get through it and there is so much like tangential nonsense in there. The guy who's interviewing him is kind of a moron, but it was so hard to pick which clip to give to you. But the reason I picked this one is because it's kind of him like accidentally telling the truth about everybody in the Democratic orbit and in liberal media, et cetera, just because he's mad at how all of them were oppositional to his father staying in the race in 2024. So he kind of stumbles into truth.
Yeah, he's angry about them. He's angry about Clooney. He's angry about everybody. But I mean, ultimately, I still believe and I maintain that if it wasn't for what they had on him, him being Hunter, they never would have had the leverage to get Joe Biden out of the race, because Biden in his head believed he was going to win. He's still telling everybody he could have beat Trump, you know?
I might be the one remaining nut who still thinks that they literally just locked him in a room for a week and started tweeting from his account his resignation. And then when he came out, they were like, oh, by the way, you dropped out, Grandpa.
I mean, it's possible. Listen, it's possible. You know, that guy is so stubborn that he may have been the most surprised person to find out he was dropping out of the race. The only person that's surprised to find out that he was dropping out of the race. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, I think he was informed that he wasn't in the race anymore. He was like, what happened?
I'm still amazed that they were able to get him to do that debate in June. I guess they must have convinced him that it would make everybody believe, because now Hunter's claiming that his dad was on drugs for that debate. And I would say that if there's ever an expert on drug use, it's Hunter Biden. Like, he's better than a drug sniffing dog. So we should use Hunter to always tell if anybody's drugged. But maybe that's how they got Joe Biden to agree to do this, because there was no upside for him to do it in June unless they said to him, we'll show everybody how sharp you are, Mr. President. And that will put all this to bed. I mean, I guess, you know.
Right. Yeah. My theory is that it was my idiot generation. It was the stupid liberal millennial staffers who were doing that. Because do you remember this? I forget who leaked this, but some reporter was writing a couple of posts a day about all of these really tenuous meetings among Harris staffers, some of whom like came over from the Biden campaign. And apparently at one point it got so heated. It was generational. It was like kind of establishment, older, longtime Democrat advisors versus like these young progressive millennial types who this is like their first or second campaign. And it got so heated that one of the younger staffers called an older staffer, who I suspect was James Carville, an effing boomer. And then the older staffer threw a dry erase board at him and the entire meeting kind of collapsed. A lot of those millennial staffers were pushing for Harris to do as many interviews as possible because they actually drank their own Kool-Aid. They thought that she was like some incredible presence on camera. And so, you know, it might be the same thing here, where they were so bought into the idea of, no, there's actually nothing wrong with him. That they were saying, like, why shouldn't he do a debate? If he doesn't do the debate, then people will think he's old. And it's like, right. Yeah, because he is old, guys. But okay.
But that's what I don't get. I mean, they're yelling at Carville saying, okay, boomer. But they had the ultimate boomer as their candidate who couldn't speak and was shaking hands with the invisible man. So maybe those staffers were setting him up to get out of the race. And maybe that was their way of doing it, and they played a Jedi mind trick on the old guy. It's very possible, I guess. Well, here's Hunter
this
Biden.
This is the book that we need. Yeah. That's the book that Jake Tapper should write.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. It's how they were able to convince him to do the debate, and what Jedi mind tricks did they use, because there's no way that those 25-year-old staffers could have thought that Joe Biden was mentally fit. No friggin' way.
Maybe.
You know? They don't even have grandparents who are still alive, a lot of those kids. But all right, so here is Hunter Biden with Channel 5 here, cut number 24.
George Clooney is not an actor. He is I don't know what he is. He's a brand. What do you have to do with anything? Why do I have to listen to you? What right do you have to step on a man who's given 52 years of his life to the service of this country and decide that you, George Clooney, are going to take out basically a full-page ad in the New York Times, James Carville, who hasn't run a race in 40 years, and David Axelrod, who had one success in his political life, and that was Barack Obama, and that was because of Barack Obama, not because of David Axelrod, and David Plouffe, and all of these guys, and the Pod Save America guys, who were junior speechwriters in Barack Obama's Senate staff, who've been dining out on the relationship with him for years. They're all going to insert their judgment over a man who has figured out, unlike anybody else, how to get elected to the United States Senate over seven times. Who's Jake Tapper's audience? What influence does Jake Tapper have over anything? He has the smallest audience on cable news. And beyond that, I think that the book is right now on Amazon that he put out. I mean, his ratings just went to after he put the book out. And, you know, they did a two-week infomercial for it. I mean, it was such a money grab, such a disservice to everybody that he serves with.
Hunter's got a massive ego. Do you think he wants to run for president, Bill?
I think he probably wants to run for president. Yeah. But that is a colossal miscalculation on his part. There's not a single person still in the Democratic Party who's willing to hitch themselves to that burning, sinking ship. I mean, the entire defense and it was a weak defense at that. But the only defense that they even had about the Hunter Biden laptop was to treat the entire thing like it was all just scandalous photos of Hunter doing terrible things. Nothing about the pay for play involving his father. And then they would say, well, yeah, it's all terrible. But guess what? He's not running for president. He's not the president. Biden's the president, his father, not Hunter. So why are you talking about it? That weak defense is all that they had. And that goes completely out the window when it's Hunter running for president. So, no, I mean, there is way too much out there all over the place for him to have any shot, obviously. But I kind of feel like he does want to. And I think that this is sort of his first foray into testing the water a little bit, which, okay, man, Godspeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It always amazes me. Bill D'Agostino's with us. Bill is with the Media Research Center. He's on X at @band_Bill. It always amazes me, though, how these guys have delusions of grandeur and think that they can accomplish anything. I mean, their hubris is amazing. All right, so the Russiagate scandal is about to blow open. You made a compilation, Bill, of the media's coverage all the way back from 2019. You know, you make this point, too, and you say you'll start to care when arrests are made. I saw Rasmussen has been out there saying basically the same thing. Like, among the base, Trump's numbers are falling within the base, and there's a frustration level between Epstein and this that nothing's going to happen here, just like nothing happened in the first term, and Hillary Clinton got away with it, and they're all going to get away with it again. if that happens, then I think there is going to be irreparable damage done from President Trump and his base that will have lasting implications for MAGA and the movement, in a sense that people will just stay home and say, you know what, if he couldn't do it, if he couldn't get it done, nobody can. So there's no point. And that movement then dies because they'll feel like he was the one guy who was able to go after the deep state. And if he couldn't get it done, we have no chance. There's no chance J.D. Vance gets it done or Ron DeSantis gets it done. So what the hell's the point? And we've got major problems. That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And to kind of hone in on where specifically the damage is done the most, it's the idea that you can ever bring to heel and reform any of these alphabet agencies and the DOJ writ large, right? Because we have Trump guys now, Trump people running that.
Yep.
Right. We have Kash Patel at FBI. Right. We control the entire DOJ. We control the entire executive branch. So obviously, but
you took a guy who wrote a book, literally wrote a book about the deep state and called them government gangsters, and he's in charge of the FBI now. So if that guy can't get it done, what chance do we have with a bureaucrat like Chris Wray, who'll be the next FBI director after the Trump era? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And so it will put lie to the notion that any Republican president can ever do anything productive for America that involves bringing these agencies to heel other than just completely dismantling them. Right. I mean, if the FBI is truly that immune to reform, if it's that resistant to being fixed, then it's no longer really providing a meaningful service to the American people. It's now more a danger than anything else, right?
But that's stuff
none of these things can be resolved.
That's stuff that Dan Bongino would say in his podcast, and now he's the deputy FBI director. And I mean, I don't want to trash the guy, but they're getting a big new headquarters. So instead of it being dismantled, it's growing. You know, the Hydra is getting another head. you know. So this is where people are getting between that and Epstein are getting very frustrated. I hear about it constantly. I get inundated. I'm sure you're hearing about it too. Inundated with emails and tweets from people saying, "You better say something to the president. We need heads to roll." I think Miranda Devine put it succinctly in her piece in the New York Post last week when she said, "We want heads on pikes and nothing less. Yeah. We need heads on pikes, and that's what we need."
Right, especially because he was the most wounded of all people from this. Right. I mean, it was the deliberate subversion and sabotage of an entire presidential term, right? He barely got a first term because this whole cloud was hanging over his head the entire time.
Yep.
Right. It stopped him from doing so many things. It was this massive wall that he constantly had to deal with. And yet we don't see any action yet. So yeah, he does need to do something on this. I mean, I personally am a little bit of a doomer when it comes to the FBI specifically. I sort of suspected that Kash Patel would stop being the same guy when he started working for the FBI. A friend of mine, when he got nominated, said, "Oh, do you like?" Or when he got confirmed, rather, said, "Do you like the FBI now that Kash Patel's in charge?" And I said, "No, I dislike Kash Patel now that he's running the FBI." but you know, that's me being cynical. I desperately want to be proven wrong by this administration.
Yeah, and I'm with you, man. Me too. I would, and I hope to God I'm proven wrong. I'm. It's the cynic in me, and it's the cynic in you. And you know, we've been around a while. All right. So tell us about the clip you put together here.
Yeah. So we first published this back in 2019. It was right after the Mueller report came out, and I had been just cataloging every lunatic clip that I could find of people, not only just lunatic in terms of how stupid the allegations were, but how certain they were and how like gleeful and excited they were to finally see Trump get what was due, right? Like Mueller was a hero to these people. And I was so excited to put this out when the report came out and there was basically nothing in it, because it was the ultimate egg on their face moment. And I knew there would never be a big "I told you so" with them. Like they were never going to say, "Oops, we were wrong." So, you know, looking back at this is basically like that was the best I could do, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, listen, let's go back in time. 2019, cut 25.
Does the public understand just how much trouble the president is in?
To believe that the president isn't compromised requires such a leap of faith.
I think we have all the proof we need of a scandal that's arguably worse than Watergate.
The U.S. president possibly working for the Russians. possibly an unwitting pawn.
Now here's what the president said when asked if he was a secret Russian agent.
The president did not directly answer the question.
Why not just say no if that's the answer?
There is tons of proof of potential collusion.
We have dramatic evidence of collusion.
How is it not collusion? How is all of that not collusion?
A political hurricane is out there at sea for him. We'll call it Hurricane Vladimir, if you will.
Donald Trump knows the noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening, if you will.
The noose is tightening around the president.
The noose is tightening.
And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening and that people might go to jail.
He knows he and POTUS are going to prison.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good
thing. Oh, my God.
The walls appear to be closing in on the president.
The investigative walls are closing in.
He feels the walls closing in.
The walls are closing in.
Trump resigns, quote, once Mueller closes in on him and the family.
Anybody that writes an op-ed and suggests that Donald Trump has not put himself directly in the target of an obstruction charge is just fooling themselves and some very, very stupid, ill-informed readers.
They are the kind of offenses that would call for impeachment hearings.
If someone walked in my office and said I was a subject of a multi-year criminal investigation led by former FBI Director Robert Mueller, I'd wet my pants.
Mueller reminds me of the starfish which gets itself tightly around the clam and uses all its stuff to weaken and pry open the clam. Now, this is a battle to the death as far as the clam is concerned. If the starfish is able to open him even a little bit, he can get him open all the way, and that's it, of course, for the clam. He's the starfish's lunch.
I mean, the starfish and the clam analogy, it's a mic drop moment right there. How do you come back from that? You know, the starfish and the clam. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, the Chris Matthews biology lesson clip was what we were referring to that around the office at the time. He was so proud of himself for coming up with that, too. You can see it in the clip. He's like, he's so thrilled with this analogy. It's adorable.
It's amazing Chris Matthews still doesn't have a show after that kind of stunning analogy. It really is.
Yeah, he was so good for content, man. I desperately missed that show. I mean, Joy Reid, which they replaced him with, has also been a wellspring of content for me. But there was something just uniquely funny and stupid about Chris Matthews that I really enjoyed for the compilation side of things.
Obviously, and considering that he was a local guy, a Philly guy, we particularly enjoyed it. You know, I mean, all those clams and starfish fighting in the Schuylkill River that he probably witnessed, you know, all those years. So, so now that all this is coming to light and that all these people made this up, and you got Clapper telling Jake Tapper they never spied on the Trump administration. We know they did. I mean, we know they got FISA warrants on people like Carter Page and Papadopoulos. I mean, we know all these things. So the next thing now is what? Like what happens now that Tulsi Gabbard has broken all this open? Because the cynic in me also says, like, God, I hope this isn't just to distract us away from Epstein. I hope there's real substance there. But again, the cynic in me goes, well, the timing of this makes me think, why didn't all this come out in the first term? Why is it coming out now?
Right. And I also, this is not my original point. I saw somebody making the point, okay, so you're telling me that that the Biden administration basically deleted all of the Epstein files that were relevant that they could have put out, but they kept all of this for some reason.
Yeah.
This was all discoverable by the incoming Trump 2.0 administration. That doesn't really pass a sniff test. So, I mean, where does that leave us? I'm not really sure. At the very least, I think some faith will be restored among the Trump base if something does come of this.
Yeah.
Because if nothing comes of this, too, then it's just like, okay, well, any kind of like corruption or DOJ related story that you ever try to get us to care about again, it's like, why would we care? What? So you're what are you going to do? Tweet about it? Have hearings?
Yeah, I mean, and we had the Durham report. I mean, we had the John Durham report, and we came out and said a lot of this stuff, and nothing came of that. So, right. I'm going to be optimistic, but I know people are losing patience. But hey, at least Stephen Colbert got canceled, so there's that. We got that going for us, Bill DiAgostino, which is nice.
Man.
You know,
yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. It's so funny seeing people claim that that this is like purely political, and it's CBS bending the knee to Trump, and you dig into the financials a little bit, and you realize it had about $100 million a year budget, and they were bringing in about $60 million a year in ad revenue. So for the past 4 years, where that figure has been accurate, he's keeping Colbert on the air has cost them $160 million. So I don't think you can call that a political decision. I think you can call that baseline business survival.
Yeah, and I think he's the first of several shoes to drop here. I mean, it's not just a matter, because they were like, oh, he's number one in the ratings. But that doesn't matter if you can't sell advertising. You could have great numbers, but if you don't have sponsors, if you don't have revenue, that's irrelevant. And the other point to that, too, is that I read a piece in the New York Post today about this. I forget who wrote it, but there's generations now of people that they're not watching an 11:30 show, whether it's biased or not, because they're getting all their stuff on social media now. By the time that writing team gets together and puts all their stuff together and it airs at 11:30 at night, I mean, there's an entire generation that has never watched a single minute of a late night, quote unquote, comedy show. So, yeah, I mean, the difference, I think, with Gutfeld and with Colbert is that Fox News has such a loyal audience that is going to be there all day long and all day night. And that kind of loyalty is there. That loyalty, though, does not exist on ABC, CBS, and NBC. They channel hop. They go all over the place. Whereas the Fox News audience, they're there. And they're there throughout the day, you know, and the night. You know what I mean? Right. And so there's a difference there and a lesson to be learned there. But there's no hope for Fallon. And there's no hope for Seth Meyers. And there's no hope for Jimmy Kimmel. Because, again, the loyalty is just not there for those networks. And then, therefore, it's not there for those shows. And the fact that it costs so much to produce these shows is amazing in my mind, considering
it's
that
laughable.
It's laughable. I mean, how the hell can you justify a budget like that in this day and age?
Well, you know, I mean, like they need it for all the cool graphics and the CGI and all the different on location shoots that they do. Right. I mean, no, yeah. it's one room and it's a guy talking.
Right. What? Right. You don't even have dinosaurs. Ridiculous. You don't even have fake dinosaurs coming to life. Nobody's exactly. flying. Nothing. Amazing. Well, here's little Brian Stelter whining about that and pretending like this is some kind of conspiracy here. Cut 26.
A country where you can't lampoon a sitting president is not a free country. A country where you can't publish editorial cartoons or have late night monologues or have satires about the president is not a democratic country. Of course, we're not there. We're not there at all right now. There are lots and lots of figures who are famous for mocking and deriding President Trump. But the idea that Colbert might be taken off the air, that his voice might be silenced, it certainly is creating a little bit of a chill in the air today, Dana.
Not for all the other people you mentioned who are out there making jokes about President Trump and making money on social media doing it. No, they're not chilly. In fact, they're feeling a lot warmer today. Like their chances of making money just went up exponentially, actually.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel is not terrified at all. His market share and his chances of staying on the air just increased. Exactly.
But even beyond him, I mean, whoever the guy is on TikTok who's ripping on Trump and you know, I mean, the Midas Touch guys and all these other people in new media who are out there that Stelter's referencing who are not on CNN, they're not worried about this. In fact, in their mind, this is great. Good. Get rid of that guy. And then more people will come to our platforms. I mean, in some ways, the legacy media has to realize now nobody needs them anymore in the age of the new media. They're dinosaurs.
They do. And that's why they're reacting this way. That's why Brian Stelter is doing this disingenuous act right now, because he needs people to care. Not for the reason that they think they're being instructed to care, right?
Yeah.
They think they're being instructed to care because fascism is coming, right? It's coming to put its golden-haired jackboot right on Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Meyers' necks, right? But no, the reason he wants them to care is because if all of these other similar networks start losing people, right? If they start losing more audience, if they start canceling shows and whatever, when is Brian Stelter's bald head on the chopping block, right?
Yes.
He already got fired from CNN once. He probably doesn't want to go through it again.
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, and the loyalty to CNN and MSNBC is not there like it is for Fox News. And there's another lesson there, too, which is that when you because at one point, if you remember, Bill, and I know you do, during the first Trump administration, Fox and MSNBC were tied. And some days MSNBC would beat Fox. But they offered their audience a false hope. That, and yep. You play that in your compilation, a lot of that. Today's the day Trump's going to prison. You know, Crazy Larry O'Donnell would come out and, you know, stop the hammering. Today's the day, worse than Watergate, Trump's in handcuffs. You can't go out there every day and promise your audience something like that and then not deliver. Because then,
yeah, there was,
right?
Did you see the clip of Stephanie Ruhle that was going viral at the time? It was her opening her show, and she said, if you're one of those people who hasn't been paying attention to this collusion Russia thing, and you've said, wake me up when something important happens and it's actually happening, this is your wake up call today. Yeah. And it was like some random day in the middle of 2018 and nothing happened. Right. I mean, they were just it was false hope. That's all it was. It was, guys, we may have to do a couple of years of this. We won't have to do four. We'll get rid of him before then. Follow along and we'll show you how. That's what this entire thing was. And that's why people were tuning in. That was it.
You break that trust with the audience and then it's irreparable. You can't get it again, which is why I've not come on the air today and said Comey and Brennan and Clapper are going to prison. I'm happy they're all being exposed, but I'm not going to promise the audience that they're going to wind up in handcuffs like some people on social media are doing. You know, oh, they're coming for Obama. You know, get the handcuffs ready. They're heading to Martha's Vineyard. I will not be one of the people making those promises to anybody anytime soon. Bill, always a pleasure, my man. I hope you have a great week, and we look forward to catching up next week. And follow Bill and his great compilations on X at @band_Bill. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. Great to see you as always.
Great.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dr. Mike Veneria is a guy who will deliver on his promise, and that promise is to give you a beautiful smile, the smile of your dreams. How do I know? Because every patient I've sent there has said the same thing. Rich, he's a great guy. I also know because for the last 10 consecutive years, he's been ranked as a master of dental implants. Other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike Veneria. I also know because my wife had to get a new smile. She had veneers that needed to be replaced, and he replaced them with beautiful caps. And Bridget's smile has never looked better. And it was beautiful before, but now it's even more beautiful. That is the Dr. Mike Veneria difference. And so what I want you to do is reach out to him today by going to VeneriaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. VeneriaDental.com with two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. They're both easy to get to right over the bridge. There's no excuse. Plus, you got to see a dentist because it's good for your mouth health, your oral health. It's really important to do. And there's this connection between your brain, your gut microbiome, your mouth. It's all connected. Let Dr. Mike give you a beautiful, beautiful smile. VeneriaDental.com, VanariaDental.com, VeneriaDental.com. My dentist, my friend, and the undisputed master of dental implants. Get your free implant consultation. Remember, dental implants are complicated stuff. You want to go to the best. You don't want to go to one of these chain dental offices. Go to Dr. Mike, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code radio15 at naturalcycles.com.
You know, the something I was thinking about with Colbert and Jon Stewart, too, because Jon Stewart, the same company that's buying the same merger with CBS, and it will affect The Daily Show as well. And he was saying that he doesn't know what the future of The Daily Show is. I don't think he's got anything to worry about. I think. So from my perspective with this stuff, and Fox News is the exception because that network is, I mean, truly the gold standard in terms of loyalty with an audience that tunes in kind of all day long, all night. It's really something very, very special, kind of like this radio station in that sense, too. And it's why talk radio, I never worry about talk radio. I may worry about the radio as the distribution device, but I don't worry about talk radio in the sense of that. Like, for example, I've said this before, music radio doesn't create the loyalty with listeners that it used to back in the day when you had DJs who were able to actually talk to the audience. And, you know, I mean, now they're using AI and, you know, but the bond that I have with you, the bond that the other hosts have with you, the bond the station has with you, that bond carries on no matter what happens. I think Jon Stewart has the same bond with his audience, that he's an incredibly talented guy. That, in other words, if tomorrow the parent company got rid of him, they would just start their own online show. Very similar to what Tucker did when he left Fox News. I mean, he's got a loyal audience. It's the audience will follow whether the platform, the distribution is there, whatever that is, whatever that is. And I know I've said this before, but Colbert, in my mind, does not generate that kind of loyalty with his audience. I don't think it's there for him. So I think in his case, he's done. I don't think an online thing for Stephen Colbert works. I mean, I know they said he was number one in the ratings, but he couldn't produce revenue, and obviously he needed a lot of people to help him create that show with teams of writers and everything else. So he'd have to pay for all that himself, and that's a lot. So in that sense, I think he's screwed. But when you realize the mistakes that a lot of these legacy corporate media hacks have made, it's believing that the audience will be there no matter what. I don't believe the audience will be there no matter what. If I break your trust, it's it. That's it. It's over. It's done. It's why years ago I made it very clear I would never endorse a product I didn't believe in. I would never say I did something I don't do. Like I wouldn't pretend to gamble. You know, online gambling, I have nothing against it. You want to bet to your heart's content. I just don't do it. So I'm not going to sit here and promote an online sports betting app that I don't use. I'll promote the app and say people can use it if they want to. But if they want me to act like I'm using it, I'm not going to do that because that's not true. I have to be truthful. I have to always be honest. That to me is the thing. And if you get mad at me for being honest, because I say something you don't like, well, oh, well, I mean, you're an adult. You could deal with it. I got over that a long time ago, too, because The other lesson I learned, if just from observing people, is if you say what the audience, what you think the audience wants to hear, then you are selling snake oil. You know, and one of the things I learned from Rush Limbaugh very early on when I was starting an afternoon drive, back when that whole issue with the Apple phone, remember the whole thing with the, it's not just one phone, and that you had a lot of people saying, this is a terrorist, the government should force Apple to unlock the phone, and Rush said no, because then the government is telling Apple to destroy its own product, and we can't have that, and I agreed with that, and I said that, and we were kind of in the minority, but I think looking back now, we all agree that we were right. And when people like the great one, Mark Levin, were out there talking about the president, was they were surveilling the president. They were surveilling, you know, he was, they were wiretapping his phones. And other people were saying that was nuts. And I was saying, no, that's absolutely correct. What's happening? And I mean, he's vindicated. But what you can't do is you can't go on the air and play a character, because people are smart. I don't think a lot of people in entertainment, infotainment, whatever you want to call this, recognize that. I think they look down on the audience. I think that they think they're idiots. And so that's why it's very important to me to always be honest with you, because I respect your intelligence and I respect your ability to see through BS. I also know that if I give you false hope and then that false hope does not come to fruition, you will lose. I will lose credibility. I'd rather I'd rather not make the call than be first out of the gate and wrong. Because when I finally make a prediction about something, it usually is right because I've spent time thinking about it, and it's not just something that is a popular opinion to make. In fact, sometimes it's an unpopular opinion to make, but I'm confident enough in the fact that I'm being honest and that you'll respect it even if you don't agree with it at first, that eventually you'll come around. And even if you don't agree with it down the road, you'll still respect the fact that I was honest about how I feel about it. That, to me, is very important. I think that these legacy media networks nowadays have a real problem because they never found a way to create that loyalty, that bond with their audience. CNN, in its heyday, I would say probably the loyalty they created was that if there was a storm or OJ was on a, you know, like escaping in the Bronco, you'd tune to CNN. But that was it. Like, there was never that sense of loyalty with that network ever. I think MSNBC, though, had it at one point. They lost it, though. But I really think they had it. I think in the first Trump term, Rachel Maddow had it. I think some of the other hosts on that network had it with their audience, but they gave them false hope. They over-delivered and they over-promised and under-delivered. They destroyed that. And like I said, once you do that, good luck. I mean, good luck getting that trust back with your audience. It's something that's irreparable. It's like getting caught in a kiss cam with your gumata. I mean, you know, good luck saving that marriage after that. You know what I mean? Good luck saving your job after that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but good luck. If I'm a betting man, and I may bet on Polymarket, I may bet on the political betting apps, but we're not allowed to. I guess we haven't found a way to have an endorsement for that, but I would do that. That I would do. I would take money on Polymarket because I probably would win. Make money because I'm pretty good at forecasting politics, except for the whole Burgum prediction. But who among us didn't see that, right, Matt DeSantis? what mere mortal didn't see that Doug Burgum? I mean, we all thought Burgum had this thing in the bag. So,
and he was so charming when we met him.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately, the nicest guy.
And I even said to him that day at the White House, I said, you're so charming right now. This is why I thought you were going to win every electoral vote, not just the majority, not just the 270 you need, all of them.
The first since George Washington, I believe, is what you stated on air.
And I said, you're so popular, in my opinion, so well liked, they would get rid of term limits for you on day one. So, you know, I mean, all right. So other than the Burgum prediction, you know, but again, who among us didn't see that coming? You know, so Oh, look, Trump's taking shots at Harvard again. Harvard has $52 billion sitting in the bank, and yet they are anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, and anti-American. Much of this money comes from the USA, all to the detriment of other schools, colleges, and institutions. And we are not going to allow this unfair situation to happen. Boy, he really does hate Harvard. And he hates the mascot of Harvard.
I don't even know who the mascot is. So.
I do. It's you.
It isn't me. I was not the mascot. I don't even think they have them. I've said it before. I don't even think there is a Harvard mascot. I never saw one once.
Well, whoever that mascot is, Trump really, 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 really hates him. Hates him. Did you guys see Superman yet, by the way?
I did see Superman this weekend.
I liked it. Like, it's not on like the top tiers of like superhero movies. Like, it's not a Nolan Batman. It's not like a Infinity War in my book. But it was good. It was well worth watching it. I enjoyed it and I had fun.
And Justin, did you agree with my analysis? It wasn't woke.
No, I don't get
how woke about
it. There was nothing woke about it. I do think my favorite was how like comic book accurate Guy Gardner's portrayal was. Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner, I really enjoyed that. I can't wait to see him come back in a future DCU movie. Hawkgirl was okay. Yeah, it's the introduction to the characters. Mr. Terrific, okay.
Yeah.
Superman, I really enjoyed the portrayal of Superman, and I really enjoyed the portrayal of Lex Luthor. Like, that dynamic going forward in this extended film universe, I am very much excited to watch.
And I loved Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah, Lois was great.
And I can't wait for his hot cousin to come back. Superman's hot cousin who likes Supergirl, to party on planets with red suns so she can get drunk. I can't wait for that. Supergirl. That movie's coming out next year, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think James Gunn put a tweet out about it last week saying Supergirl's coming in 2026.
So I don't know what the hell Clay Travis was talking about when he said it was woke. I don't think he saw it.
No, I don't think he did either.
No way, because I've seen it twice. I'm going to take Patrick to see it probably this weekend. Nothing woke about it. It's clunky at times. It's loud at times. There's a lot going on at times, but it's good. It's fun. It's an enjoyable, fun movie. You know?
Yeah, it's like something that you can just put on. It's easy watching. It's nothing you gotta like. Oh, look into the context of so and so scene and be like, it has some deep political narrative. No, it's just a good It's a good, fun, family friendly Superman movie.
Now, what amazes me is that the Smurfs are coming back, and I have a theory that there's an entire generation that doesn't know what the hell a Smurf is. Do you guys know the Smurfs? I mean, did you grow up with them?
I know what a Smurf is.
You do?
Yeah.
The little blue guys.
Yeah. I mean, I would watch the Smurfs, Saturday morning cartoons, every week, back when they had Saturday morning cartoons. That was my go-to, the Smurfs. But I can't believe that it's still a thing to this, like, that they. I mean, great, good for them that they're back.
I think they have, like, a very high, popularity overseas. It's kind of like characters like Snoopy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. Like, you know, Snoopy's got some clout, per se, around in the
clout.
United States.
Snoopy's got street cred.
He's got street cred, but in America. But when you go to Japan, like when I went to Japan, everything is like Peanuts, Snoopy. Mm. They absolutely go insane for Snoopy.
Wow.
And I had no idea there was like this whole other sect of the world that just loses their mind for this character.
That's interesting to me because I think they make a lot of movies hoping that they're going to make money overseas. That's my theory now. Movies that are pointless, right?
Yeah. I mean,
they just make them they make them for China, basically.
For the sake of the Smurfs, I hope it did better internationally than it did domestically because it came out Friday and it only earned $11 million. It finished in fourth place behind Superman, Jurassic World, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
The only reason I even know about it is because when Barb was in here from Barb's Harley Davidson, Tony, who was with her, the command sergeant major, I got him Tasty Cake Donuts, and they're Smurf donuts.
Yeah, there's a Smurf.
Everything's friggin' Smurf now. All the branding that they do. Smurf donuts, Smurf Coca-Cola. Oh, you got them right there. Yeah. Boy, that would not be Robert F. Kennedy Jr. approved. That bad Tasty Cake Donuts. I mean, I'm just saying. Wasn't there another big announcement of Pepsi, right? Pepsi's taken out something.
Oh, Pepsi. I know Coke is supposedly.
No, not from the drink. I think from their Frito-Lay and their chip division. I think I read over the weekend they're getting rid of some of the artificial flavors and color. I mean, I love that it's like, well, we're going to get rid of red number 5 and suddenly Doritos are going to be, what, healthy? You know what I mean? Like, oh, great. I just woofed down a bag of Doritos now. Some of this stuff, the real cane sugar in soda, better. But at the same time, if you're drinking 5-6 sodas a day, whether it's cane sugar or not, guess what? You're going to have a fat ass. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it. It might be a healthier fat behind, but you're going to have one. That's the...
But you'll feel better about it, at least.
You'll feel better, but maybe not after the fifth one. No way. What did Pepsi announce? I think it was another... I saw Kennedy was posting about that, another MAHA victory.
Yeah, it looks like you're right. It looks like they are altering some of the dyes and flavoring that they use in Cheetos and Doritos.
Yeah, so like Cheetos will have a healthier coloring. So, you know, snack up. I mean... So the little fat kids who still eat a whole bag of Cheetos, I mean, maybe it'll be a little bit better, but I still don't think it's really going to be the differentiator.
Lay's and Tostitos are supposed to remove all artificial dyes and flavoring by the end of this year, and then Cheetos and Doritos are supposed to follow suit shortly.
Great. And then parents, feel free to let your kids just devour those bags and what could possibly go wrong? Sit on the couch and play video games and just shove all that food in and go, well, there's no artificial dyes and flavors. We got that going for us, which is nice.
While they're downing 3 cans of 500 milligram energy drinks a day.
I'm excited to see what the new packaging looks like because they'll definitely market as something healthy. Because I always see, like, the popcorn bags. It always says great source of fiber, which I don't know if that's true or not, but, like, the popcorn I get is doused in butter. So I think any fiber that I'm being given is totally negated by all that delicious buttery substance.
Well, butter's back now. Butter's good. Butter's your friend again.
Butter's good?
Yeah, butter's good. Remember we went through the whole, I can't believe it's not butter phase in America?
Yeah.
With Fabio on the horse. And remember, you know, and they have the now we've all realized that margarine and all those other processed things are bad for you. They're bad. They're terrible for you. Butter, good. And the processed crap is bad. So butter's your friend.
So dietitian Rich Zioli says, eat as much butter as you possibly can.
I just eat sticks of it. And I just,
just go to your fridge. Just go take out a stick of unsalted and just down it. You're good. Yeah.
No, salt's good for you again. So I eat salted butter.
Just there you go.
You know what I mean?
But, you got to get the Kerrygold, the Irish butter.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
That is the good stuff. Well, Kennedy said he's releasing new dietary food guidelines soon. And I don't know when, but, you know, within an outburger leaving California, they use beef tallow for their fries. And beef tallow is all the rage now. That's supposed to be really good for you to fry in. Not the processed seed oils that everybody's been talking about.
It's interesting to me that Justin and I were talking about this. There isn't an In-N-Out, I don't think, east of Texas.
No.
And yet the headquarters is going to be in Tennessee.
Yep.
So do you think that's going to end up leading to In-N-Outs across the country?
I mean, I'm begging for it. I'm begging for it. Because Jillian Turner, who was filling in for Dana today, she said she's never had an In-N-Out burger. And
wow.
I said, don't feel bad because they're just not on the East Coast. But maybe they will open up now.
Oh, they'll do an incredible amount of business, I'm sure, if they do.
I mean, she teed off. The woman who owns it now, she teed off on California and their COVID policies and everything else and all they had to do. But I still think they're the best. The best. By far. The best. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're wrong. No, In-N-Out is okay. In-N-Out is fine. Their fries aren't that good. The burger, the price is nice, but the milkshake is the big selling point. If you're looking for high quality fast food, I still think Freddy's is better. I think Fat Burger. I think there's only one though on the East Coast, and it happens to be in Cherry Hill, by the
Freddy's.
Freddy's. Never been to Freddy's?
I have not.
Oh, they have smash burgers. They're excellent.
Interesting.
And cheese curds.
Ooh.
Yeah, I ate a lot of cheese curds in Wisconsin. And somebody remarked the other day, they said, wow, you look like you lost some weight. I said, well, that's because I stopped eating cheese curds every day. I mean, we ate them every day at the RNC.
All I had. The pizza was terrible there. Yeah. Aside from that one spot that you found.
We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner was basically cheese curds. That's what we did. All right, coming up, Tulsi Gabbard unloads. Will anything come of it? We'll find out. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.